Blog Talk Radio.
Give me the music. Then you got the chords, and then you got the jazz music. Dun, dun, dun. And then that creepy kind of roll that techno. Gotta have a techno. There you go. Now the there's like a line of chicks and they're all getting the snacks and they go soon. And then the last. And a big thanks to Dr. John Stamey for leaving that on there for the 45th week in a row. I think we're on. Regardless, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Today is 5-3-2-3. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic this evening. Chilly evening, but clear out here in Jacksonville, North Carolina tonight. I have already taken the liberty of lighting up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. So I'm going to kick it around to my most esteemed panel so we can get our asses in gear for tonight's show. First off, hailing from the invading state, the big threat of Indiana, the capital of Indianapolis, or the capital of Indianapolis of Indiana in the outlying regions. First off, going to that place where the fence is mended, pool is no longer moss green, and the alpacas are doing nefarious acts in the dark. Maybe in the light, too, for all we know, if they're that brave about shit. But,
oh, yeah.
Tim, what's going on tonight, man?
Man, I'm doing awesome. It's a pretty nice night out. I should actually be outside. It is chilly, though. I'd have to put the old sweatshirt on. I don't know what your temp is like, but it's on the chilly side here. I know we're in for a warm-up eventually. I don't know. I haven't seen the weather forecast. I don't know how soon it's going to be here. The pool, it's looking sharp, man. It's clear. I'm happy. I got a little bit of vacuuming to do, but I got the pool back, so I'm happy. The alpacas, yes, they're nefarious during the daytime, too. They try to literally bite each other's nuts off, so that's always going on. Other than that, I'm looking forward to
a couple
big show.
To do that. Outstanding. Yeah, dude, glad to have you tonight. Good to have you here. Always good to hear your voice. So I'm going to kick it across town to the same area, same invading state of Indiana, and introduce my good brother and compadre and bro and any other type of pal reference you might want to throw onto it. Todd, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm doing outstanding, supernatural, ecstatic to be here. And I'm laughing my ass off because you're, like Tim said, it's a little cool here, but it's one of the warmer days we've had in the last week. And you're still 3 degrees warmer than we are, just to give Tim some perspective. although that is kind of brisk for Dave's part of the country this time of year. It's due to I don't know. I mean, within the last week, been taking frost off the car, stuff like that. Some of us have seen forms of wintry mix. It's just the way it is. But hey, here's something to think about. Not long after midnight tonight, May will be 10% over. Just chew on that. May 2023 will be 10% over. I do think we should go ahead and kick off. I know you got plans and thoughts and you're thinking here. Congratulations on the thinking, but actually congratulations on surviving a full another circuit of the sun, Dave. Hey, happy birthday to you, man. Belated, though, you may be.
I appreciate it much, man. It's I'm sure I'm as surprised as you are that I made it another revolution. It was pretty cool. When the fire department got here to put the candles out, they let me pet the Dalmatian. And everybody thought it was funny when they had to put Asper cream for cake icing on my cake. But other than that, I'm actually having, knock on wood, a pretty damn productive, fun, and enjoyable birthday, except for last night's dinner. Last night's dinner was a little lackluster, thanks to going to chain restaurants. And I was a dumbass, and I chose, and it didn't pan out. But outside of that, man, I had a fantastic birthday. And, you know, my rule is after I hit 40, I was lucky enough to hit 40, so I no longer celebrate birthdays. I celebrate birth weeks. And if I make it to 60, then the entire month of May will be my birthday. And if I make it to 80, then every goddamn day of the week will be a birthday at that point. So the cool thing about having a birth week and a birthday of May 2nd, when you do the birth week, you also get to encompass tomorrow, which is Star Wars Day, May the 4th,
yep,
with you. And then the next day, Cinco de Mayo. So eat some Mexican, drink some damn margaritas, and, you know, for your average white guy, celebrate a holiday that has absolutely nothing to do with you. But God damn it, I'll celebrate with you. And especially if margaritas and I think Cinco de Mayo is on the 4th or on a Friday this year.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And the day after that, may the Sith be with you.
All right.
But to be clear, for today, may the turd be with you.
May the turd, that's right. And Todd, you'll recall years ago we had a particular young lady at Sam's that we had believing that because it was a leap year that Cinco de Mayo was on May 6th and that July 4th was actually on July 5th that year. I don't know if you recall that or not. But it was actually a week later she came to work and hard charged me and said, "Damn it, Dave, you guys are telling me a lie." And I was like, "What?" She says, "Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to get everybody together and I had the wrong day scheduled for the barbecue and everything. My kids set me straight." And I was like, "What are you talking about? Because you told me that July 4th was on July 5th this year." Or she had a wedding on July 4th is what it was. Told her, you know, she asked for the time off. And I had told her, I says, "No, I said July 4th is doing Independence Day is on July 5th this year because it's a leap year." So Cinco de Mayo, which is otherwise known as May 4th in Spanish, was being celebrated, or May 5th was
Let that serve as a public service announcement. Those people are out there. Beware.
Good stuff. But, yeah, man, I certainly appreciate the birthday greet, dude. It's good. And I didn't think that I'd make it a day over 33, and now here I am at 53. Got two great kids, four great-grandkids. Not great-grandkids, but wonderful great-grandkids. You know, four dogs and lovely wife and the whole damn nine yards. So glad I made it. Wouldn't mind doing another damn 53 more. What the hell? So just as long as you guys can join me on Wednesday night. How's that for emotional? Ta-da. So, speaking of biting the dust, yesterday, and again, not to jest about the topic of death, but musical great, Gordon Lightfoot passed. And for those of you listening who were born after Y2K, you're probably going, "Gordon Lightfoot? Isn't he a wrestler?" No, he's not a wrestler. Gordon Lightfoot is a musician from the 60s and 70s. Had some fantastic songs out there, you know, Edmund Fitzgerald and Sundown. And then, of course, there's that Can You Read My Mind song that was played at every freaking wedding in the 80s. Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah, hey, well, look, I will tell you that to this day, especially if you were to introduce him to somebody that didn't hear it between the melodies and stuff like that, his stuff is legit.
Oh, yeah. Everything from the lyrics to the music composition, everything about his stuff, even if you don't dig his music, you can learn a lot about music, the art of it, through his songs. I mean, the man was just a genius, and just, like I said, sucks that he's gone. And granted, he lived 80-some-odd years, so, you know, we got plenty of time to hang out with him, but still, nevertheless, it sucks that he's gone. So it brings us to tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is, if you could march your arrogant little ass right up to the pearly gates and beat on them and say, hey, I want so-and-so back, any type of famous person. We've done a show like this on wrestlers a little while back. Not to say we can't do wrestlers tonight, of course, but so tonight's topic is famous people you'd like to have back for whatever various reasons. So,
and to be clear, the kind of ground rules are, like, we know some of the folks people may be thinking of, hey, have been in the ground a while, so they're not coming back zombified, right? And if they were suffering some sort of something debilitating and all that, that wasn't going on with them. We, you know, in the picture of health and youth and full whatever it is that makes you want to bring them back, whatever their skill was, or that they're at the peak of it when they come back, type thing, right?
Right. And then, of course, you know, the answer to this would be Jesus, but Jesus has already come back. So, you know, not to disqualify Jesus, of course, but we already know he's here with us. So I digress.
And, well, there's that. And to be clear, his next return ain't going to be pretty for some folks.
No, absolutely not. And that was the reason why I was looking
at it. He came back. His name became Chuck Norris. So just, you know.
Ooh, that's a good point.
That.
Yeah, Chuck Norris. I don't think Chuck Norris can die. He's still in real good shape for his age. So, Tim, you want to start us off with somebody?
Yeah.
Are you feeling it?
I sure will. The absolute number one name that comes to mind, not necessarily because of any particular order or anything like that, Jimi Hendrix. I would have loved to have seen that dude live past 27 because, man, was he on a track to do amazing things. He already did, but I can't imagine with what he had already impacted everyone with his style and everything and his talent, at passing at 27, can you just imagine, like, if that dude were alive today or, you know, had passed just in the last few years?
I can't argue with your call, man. The look, there's what he was doing with for the guitar and stuff, and his subtlety, his take on All Along the Watchtower, and
oh yeah,
what he was doing with just the hint of effects, just ridiculous. Now, I'm kind of mixed. Like some musicians keep thinking, damn it, just get a freaking vocalist to be there with you. Just saying.
Yeah.
But there were certain things about his voice that worked too. So, yeah, Tim. Hells of a call.
Yeah, good start, dude. Very good start.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very good start. Yeah, I would dare say that Jimmy's probably on all three of our lists, easy, without a doubt. And then, of course, there would have to be the quick little pep talk, too, when he comes back. It's like, all right, Jimmy, look, we've done a lot of legwork getting your ass back here. No blow, no meth. Put the glass dick down. We're just not doing it. Okay, we pulled a lot of strings getting your ass back, so let's clean it up, okay, buddy? Of course, then he cleans it up, and his music sucks. I still think a lot of times, I know speaking on my writing, the more shit-faced I am, the better my writing is. So perhaps had it not been for the narcotics, we would never had the genius of Jimi Hendrix. So that's the big what if, right? Todd, talk to me, man.
Funny, you guys are in the started out across the board with the same vein of stuff that I would like. I think, just to be clear, I kind of struggle with some of this. So many times you have those so-called heroes and you find out they ain't what they're cracked up to be.
Yeah.
But for me, one of them would be Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, he's on my list, dude. Good call.
Dude, yep. One of them would absolutely be Edward Van Halen. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. And again, the pep talk, put down the cigarettes. It's going to catch up with you. And let's rock out. Because it does suck he's gone. Nobody's going to be able to do it again. Just like Jimmy. I mean, there's a lot of great guitar players out there and everything in their own right. But they can't do what those two guys did. So, yeah. Most certainly,
just
dude.
I'm going to bring up another one. So, what the hell is that? What the hell is he doing now? Guitarist before long, but yeah.
Yeah, he was excellent, dude. Now, mine, I'm going to ease off of the musicians and head down another road. So just picture me going up the escalator, like on the Tom and Jerry cartoons, and I get to the gates, and I beat my fist on there. I see St. Pete, and I'm like, St. Pete, this is my guy. And next thing you know, this angel staggers out of there with a red tie on and goes, I can't believe somebody called me. I never got any respect. Rodney freaking Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Oh, hell's to you,
Yeah,
God, if you're having a bad day, just go to YouTube, and if you don't look up the Uncle Pecos episode of Tom and Jerry, you know, the one where he sings Crumble, look up Rodney Dangerfield, and I swear to you, you will piss your pants, and your day will get better, even if you're wearing piss-soaked pants. Miss Rodney real bad. And he's been gone for almost 20 years now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah. Miss him a lot, dude.
I just sent you all something relevant.
Yeah.
I
have got to get me one of those rugs. That is epic.
That's hilarious because... Yeah, there is. Somebody's doing it. I'm afraid to go and look it up because the only steps we have are to our front porch. I can't. Damn it, Dave, the only ones you got are from the back porch.
Yeah,
right?
I don't have. I've got four coming off the deck, and I've got three coming off the front. Of course, I wouldn't want to put work art like that on the outdoors anyway, but...
No,
yeah,
that's problematic. But what it is, for those that remember Tom and Jerry, and I bet there's other various characters out there, I seem to recall that kind of shit happened to Yosemite Sam as well. It's a flattened Tom from Tom and Jerry as if the piano went over him on the steps. The, oh my God, that's friggin' great.
You know, quick tangent, it only take a second. Years ago, we were moving a bedroom suit. My folks own a two-story house, and the Sergeant Major was getting the old bedroom suit out, which, of course, was made out of limestone because Mom and Dad only buy heavy shit. And so Dad, of course, being the guy in charge, He makes me the anchor guy. So he takes this big, huge six-drawer dresser and gets it on the steps. And I'm the guy holding this heavy-ass thing as I'm trying to lurch my way down the steps. And he's holding on to it. You know, the drawers are out of it, so he's holding on to the framework there of the dresser as it's sliding down the steps. Got about five more steps to go. He lets go. Next thing you know, kersmack, that thing just damn caved in all my damn ribs up against the damn wall when it hit me. And I start hollering, you know. So me and him hollering back and forth, calling each other names the whole damn nine yards. Hey, Mom comes in there, and she's, damn it, you two, what's the problem? What are you arguing about? And before Dad can say anything, I says, Dad, Tom and Jerry the shit out of my ass. That's what the problem is. I thought my mom just busted out laughing and just walked away. I mean, that was the closest thing to that.
Gotta love the sympathy. Gotta love the sympathy.
Good stuff. Yeah, my mom's a great sport. Love her. So, Tim, back around to you, Daddy-O. Hit me with one.
Plenty on deck. I just am trying to figure out a decent order here. So I'm going to come out of left field. Not literally, not steering with baseball yet, although I could. Man, there's so many. But I am going to go in the world of sports, and I'm going to go with somebody who went way too young. He was just an all-around great person. I'm going to go with Dan Weldon. And, of course, there's a plethora of race car drivers who have perished in unfortunate accidents. You know, none are better than the others, so I could put all of them in that category. But Dan Weldon stands out, just a wonderful guy, went way too young, had a family. So it was just tragic. I think it happened in Vegas, and it's probably been in the last 13 years or so. I don't know if you guys know. Yeah, he was an IndyCar driver, though.
Yeah, because if I recall.
Yeah, he was not a first, if I'm right, he's not a first-generation race car driver. I'm just thinking there was somebody with that same family name that was a big deal when they had the old Superbirds and Superchargers and all that shit out on the tracks.
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure about that one. My older brother, he is the absolute rain man of anything racing, so he would know the answer to that. You could also, for anybody out there listening, all the NASCAR fans, yes, you could say Dale Earnhardt as well. I'm more of an IndyCar guy. That's why I said Dan Weldon.
Yeah, I don't know enough to know if it was a bad call, but I know there's been a ton of those race car drivers that went, look at all those dudes in the 60s when they had to completely reform racing for the Formula One and all that kind of shit. Yeah. All right, I get it. Get it.
All, dude. And again, this is another good example of not only is it for the entertainment of his profession, but for the person that he was. So that was a hell of a good call right there, man. Those are the ones that we're looking for. The ones that, despite their flaws, they brought a lot of joy. You know what I mean? So, good call on that one, dude. Well done. So, Todd, back to you, Daddy-O. Hit me.
I'm going to stick to my what I got going at the moment. I'm going to go with Jeff Beck.
Oh, yeah.
While he was not as mainstream later in his career by any means, as, you know, an Eric Clapton and shit like that, Jeff Beck did some stuff that was just, wait, what? You want to hear something that was just not fitting any mold at the time? Go look at the top albums around the year that Blow by Blow came out, and listen, give that a listen. Freeway Jam, stuff like that.
Give it a go. He's a little behind the scenes guy, man. Easy. And then he screwed up and played with Rod Stewart, slid in on an album
with Rod Stewart later.
Yep.
Odds and ends. He played with a bunch of different vocalists over the years. But yeah. Jeff Beck.
Yeah, good call on that one, man.
Like
he's
I got nothing.
Yep.
Again, another one of those talents that isn't household name, but, I mean, if you know anything about music, that guy had some mad skills, man. Great, great player. Easy. All right. Back to me. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and get this one off on a personal note. I know he's not famous, but he's famous to us. And day in a day go by where I don't think about the guy because, Christ almighty, he was one of those few guys that I knew I could call, and I'd feel like King Kong when I got off the phone with him. And that was Dango.
I know where this is going. Yep.
Yeah, our old buddy Dango from The Walking Dead. You couldn't ask for and, you know, talking about people that didn't have to be who they were. I mean, this guy had the looks. You know, he was funny. He's good looking. He had the muscles. He could, you know, he was acting. He was a firefighter, a paramedic. He did it all.
Did some odds and ends modeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but yet he hung out with assholes like us. And, you know, when you were feeling down, which we all get from time to time, even the strongest of us get a little damn pooped out from time to time. And, man, he was always there to kind of get the Rocky music playing in my head. So, yeah, we're coming up, I think, on 4 years now since he's been gone. And it's still a gut punch, man. Think about him regularly. So, you know, sir, I'm sure he's right there sitting on our shoulders collectively. And that's good to know that you got quality angels like that following you up. So, yeah, man, that's my personal lick. I'll go ahead and move on. Tim, you're up, daddy.
Sam Kennison. He would have to call him to say, he'd have to get the same warning. Can you imagine the policy we'd have to make him sign? All right, dude, this is what you're going to have to say. I don't even know if he'd stick around. He just might say, can I just catch the next taxi back, please? I don't want this shit.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't even play. He wouldn't play today.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'm afraid that he would fall in with the Dice Clay thing where Dice Clay was funnier than shit, but he don't do anything now because it's just everybody's gotten so up in their feels about everything.
Yeah.
Kennison was funnier.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I just watched the other day, actually, this is probably why I had him on the brain, but I just watched his video Band, and I still, to this day, I think it's one of the funniest stand-up routines I have ever seen. But you're absolutely right. The whole time I'm watching and I'm like, yeah, if this were today,
Have you ever seen him go on YouTube and watch him sing Are You Lonely Tonight on the Carson Show?
Yeah.
You want to talk about funny. Oh, God. That shit is hilarious.
I think I might have seen that. I'm going to Google it afterwards, and I'm thinking I might have seen that, though.
Tim, I think it made the rounds with us moderately recently between one of our various group chats or group multi-text or something. I feel like I say recently it could be anywhere in the last 18 months. 2 years?
Gotcha.
That's somewhere.
Yeah.
Because
the Kennison stuff.
Isn't that the one where he ends up being like, because I hate you so much? Oh,
yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I still like his stand up about feeding, curing world hunger. When he says,
oh, right.
He goes, hey, you know, we've been coming out here for couple hundred years now feeding you guys, and we kind of realized that there wouldn't be world hunger if you people knew where the food was. You see this? You see this? It's sand.
It's sand.
That's right, sand. Nothing's going to grow.
Oh, man.
That is funny shit. Oh, God. And that was another sad story, man, because he was just getting his shit together. He had been, like, sober for X amount of months. And everything, he was engaged and everything was, he was actually being a human being and getting all of his stuff in line. And oddly enough, a drunk driver hit him. And, it just sucks, man.
I was actually just looking him up a little bit ago. When I say a little bit ago, I don't know, last several weeks, I guess, because I got every once in a while, like when I pick out on someone again who's passed away, and their prime was kind of like when I was still a kid. So I don't really know them that well. I'll go and look them up just to be like, you know, I really like how long they were around for, you know, what their whole story was, and realize that, you know, like you said, like he hit a peak, and then I believe he kind of tanked, and it was a lot of the drugs and alcohol that took him there, and he was losing gigs. I don't know. I can't remember, like, the full story. I'm probably doing a bad job of trying to recap, but like you said, he was cleaning up, and from what I read, he was kind of in that direction to really take off again, and then, you know, unfortunately, he passed away. So that's what really sucks about it all.
Yeah, heading in the right direction, and but, you know, it's for those of us who have faith. 8 years ago, a friend of mine's mom passed, and his mom always was in the yard. Every time he drove by his folks' house, his mom was always out there in the yard, crawling around the grass, messing with her flower bed. I mean, every time. It didn't matter if it was damn raining or what. She was out there in that yard screwing with those flowers. And she passed on. And, you know, about 2 weeks after she passed, you know, I saw him and I said, you know, hey, man, you know, you holding together all right? You know, typical things you say to a friend after they lost, you know, their mom or dad or somebody. And he looked me right in the eye and he goes, he says, I'm fine. He says, reckon the Lord needed her to plant flowers more than me. And, you know, it makes sense. And perhaps, perhaps the Lord needed Sam more than us, and that's why he got taken. So, yeah, it sucks, though, because he was funny as shit. he was damn stupid funny. Todd, good call, Tim. Well done. Todd, you're up.
The way the Marine Corps is doing things right now, DOD in general, I'm thinking for the Marine Corps, they could use a Chesty Bowler again.
Ain't that the goddamn
truth? Have him come back, be commandant. Boy, he would get some of these people to fix that cranial inversion.
Yep. And he'd whip him in shape through example. Not through discipline, through example. Because you read up on him, he was a man's man. He was a family man. And, yeah, beyond his old Marine Corps thing, Chesty Puller was a bad son of a bitch. And, yeah, I totally agree. I think that he can single-handedly straighten some people out without effort, just by standing there. Yeah, man. Good call on that one, dude. In any event, you're not aware who Chesty Puller is, Google him. Song will tell you. Very fascinating person and very admirable guy, too, say the least. So.
Yeah, have at it, Bunkles.
Yeah. Yeah, that, and again, it's Google. You can even find him in the Encyclopedia Britannica if you have those laying around the house still. And they're not just flattening your ties. Use them for what they're there for. Back over to me. So I'm going to hit one that I know is on everybody's list, so I'm just going to go ahead and steal it.
That sure is a pretty girl out there, Richard. I bet her boyfriend plays for the Yankees.
Damn it.
I was going to say that. That was my on deck.
Damn it.
Chris freaking Farley. God knows. There's another guy that just had no business dying. I mean, too young,
yeah,
too funny.
I thought I was going to lead to, because I was pulling Sam. Well, of course, he didn't really. He didn't hit the same pattern, but he ended up getting taken out because, yeah, so. Damn, good
Chris
call.
Farley.
All right.
Yeah. Why Tommy Boy did not win an Oscar? You know, when you make your compile your list of top 10 greatest films, they don't all have to be Chariots of Fire. You know what I mean? When you say greatest films, they can be a goddamn film. And despite the fact I might lead off with The Godfather 1 and 2 and sprinkle some Empire Strikes Back in there, Tommy Boy will definitely be in that top 10 because you better
– Have you heard Adam Sandler's tribute song to Chris Farley? If you listen to that thing and you don't have a little bit of a tear show up in the corner of your eye by the time it's gone, you aren't a true man. That is Adam Sandler does.
Yeah, and you can tell when Adam Sandler talks about him, how there's still a hole, how there's still – and I know towards the end there, a lot of people were getting a little tired of Chris Farley shit when it comes down to him being tore up all the time and everything. But, you can tell that there is definitely a space left. When Adam Sandler speaks about him, that's for damn sir.
So I remember, I'm probably going to butcher this, but there was some kind of a tribute show to him and somebody was interviewed, someone who went to school with him in college. Pardon me. And they said the dude was so wild back in college that before it was, I don't know, like some kind of a drama class or something, or maybe it was a speech class, I can't remember. But like one dude bet him. He's like, I'll bet you can't slam a beer in front of the class. And he's like, all right, or whatever. And he walks in there and he takes a beer and he like chugs it right there in front of everyone, wads it up and throws it over against the wall and then turns back around and says, how to get your audience's attention. And, you know, from there, it's just whatever. I was rolling when I heard that.
That and the damn the Chippendales thing with Patrick Swayze.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't give a damn how many times I watch that. And it's so fun. I got to hand it to Patrick Swayze because at the end, Patrick Swayze is selling the hell out of it because he's like, dude, man, but you were so good, man. You were so good. I didn't think I was going to win it, man. You know?
Yeah.
So he turns around, cracking his ass is showing out of his britches and everything. That is funnier than hell. And
we could do a complete show just on his skits, on his all-star moments. You could do a complete show on it, you know.
It took a lot of balls for him to do that. You know what I mean? That whole skit, I mean, all of us could probably, except for Todd, of course. Todd, you know, he's, you know, his belt goes around him twice. But all of us could stand to lose a couple pounds. And for him to go out there on national television, global television, for shit's sake, and to do that took a lot of sack. And Christ almighty, that was so freaking epic. So epic, dude. But, yeah, man, Chris Farley, man, definitely. So, Tim, since I pulled the rug out from under you, do you want me to go to Todd and then come back to you, or are you ready for another one?
Oh, no, I got a backup.
All right, hit me.
This is the one, I guess, that goes more along the lines of the Sam Kinison lifestyle, because I think he and I'm kind of crossing paths here, or crossing this one was another where it was extremely talented individual, and unfortunately due to drug habits and or possibly alcohol, I really don't know the answer. His fame kind of went down a little bit to the point to where he was booed off stage at least once that I know of. But I believe he cleaned himself up and was coming back, and if I'm not mistaken, was killed in a helicopter crash, none other than Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The closest thing the Voodoo Child done correctly that I've ever heard.
If there's one who I will tolerate listening to covering Jimi Hendrix, it is Stevie Ray Vaughan. He has earned that.
Yeah.
The Voodoo Child, his quiet version of Little Wing, I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Amazing song. Yeah, he's got it down.
Actually, and by I'm not going to argue your call there, Tim, you want to hear somebody that could do some work, could do some note-for-note stuff, was old Frank Marino from Mahogany Rush, or Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush, or whatever, Frank Marino's Mahogany Rush, something like that. He did some, he loved him some Hendrix in his show. I'll just leave it there. But, yeah, Stevie Ray Vaughan is another guy who played the hell out of the guitar. And I think, his younger clone that came out some years later, actually, I think they might have been both going a little bit at the same time. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, hell of a guitar player in his own right. But, Stevie Ray Vaughan, another guy that could swing an axe.
Yeah, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, man, that's another one of those songs that I put in my top 10 songs, that Blue on Black that he's got. That is a wicked freaking tune, dude. I don't care what mood you're in. When you listen to that song, you can just damn gnaw a chrome bumper in half after you listen to it. That song is cool as shit. Yeah, man. That's
Saw it live. He was opened for the Van Halen 3 tour there in Raleigh, a big outdoor amphitheater there.
I'll be damned. Yeah, that probably was a good show. Easy. And again, you've got to be music enthusiast to like his stuff, but I mean, he's got some good stuff, man, and a ton of talent.
The Buddy's Kid we took with us, just so you know, Buddy's Kid that we took with us after Kenny Wayne Shepherd got off stage, he was like, "Oh my God," he goes, "Van Halen's going to hate coming on after him." He was so blown away listening to that guitarist, because he was listening to his dad's music, our music, stuff like that. And, hell, that dude already retired from the Marine Corps. And then Van Halen came on, and he was like, "Oh, my God."
Yeah, different. Totally smoked your shorts on that one.
Yeah. All right. My turn, I'm taking it. I'm going to go with, since the Marine Corps could use some help, I'm thinking the Army could use some help. Let's go with General George Patton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, God knows we could use him right now. What with all's going on. But, of course, you know, Patton, when it comes to peacetime, he was a disaster. Wartime, you could not have had a better person on your side. I still think there's some nefarious shit in his death. He's another one of those ones that I'll scotch tape a little bit of damn conspiracy theory on. It's just real strange, his passing. What an interesting guy. I mean, and this is a guy everybody immediately thinks World War II with Patton. There's stuff that he did in the Mexican-American War. That's some straight Chuck Smith stuff. There's a story about some guys being holed up in a large building, and they had the American forces pinned down, and Patton was a sergeant of some type or another. I'm not real hip on Army ranks. And as the story goes, he drove a Jeep. And not, you know, you got to remember this is, you know, 1908 or whatever the hell.
He drove a vehicle at the time. It wasn't a Jeep, but yeah.
Right. And he drove that thing right up there to the building, jumped out and started shooting. And before you know it, the Americans had taken over the compound. And that's substantiated stuff. That ain't lore. That's true that. So, yeah, Patton's a badass, dude. And I'm sure he's another one that could probably readjust somebody's damn thinking with the current climate. So he'd probably be getting bastardized right now like a lot of other heroic people are, but he was one of a kind. That is for damn certain. Yeah, good call on that, Todd.
Just saying, yep.
Easy. Now, mine, I'm going to kind of group together some guys here, if you guys don't mind, because it's kind of odd, and I didn't realize it till the other night until I was watching. I kind of went down a rabbit hole with this. But the cast of the old Burt Reynolds flicks, The Smoking the Bandits, Cannonball Runs, if you stop and look, Burt Reynolds, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Jackie Gleason, Dom DeLuise. I think Dom DeLuise has passed, hasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Farrah Fawcett was in Cannonball Run. Roger Moore was in it. All these damn people that were so freaking funny. You can go and just watch the Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. parts from the Cannonball Run and laugh yourself shitless. Because the two of them, that was when they dressed up like priests. And,
yep.
I mean, funny. You know, and Jackie Gleason. I'm sure you guys have seen they were having a Burt Reynolds special or something like that on network television. It wasn't a roast, but it was a special of some type. And he's out there in his tux and everything. Well, just out of nowhere, they start playing the music, right? And they turn around and look, and there is Jackie Gleason in full Buford T. Justice damn garb. I mean, he's got the whole outfit. And he comes out there, and he goes, "Bandit, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, I'm going to put you in jail for the rest of your naturally born life. And then when you die, I'm going to put you back in the jail for the rest of your naturally dead life." All those guys, man. Gleason, Martin, DeLuise, Jerry Reed, God damn it, you want to talk about guitar players. Jerry Reed had some mad, mad guitar skills. Jerry Reed was fantastic. I always liked him. But, man, if you look at the lineup and you think how many of those guys are no longer with us. I mean, Adrienne Barbeau is still with us. She was in Cannonball Run. Sally Field, of course, still with us. But, I mean, the rest of those guys are gone. And the amount of just laughter that those guys brought.
See, you kind of opened the door, and I kind of got to go there. The pull up some old episodes of Dean Martin, Celebrity Roast. That whole, so much of that dies.
Yes, yes. And if you ever get the chance to listen to Dean Martin sing, Dean Martin's Christmas albums are some of the, I mean, his Christmas albums, you can listen to damn things in July. He is just absolutely phenomenal. And And not to mention the fact that he was just firing shit. But then when you find out that despite the fact that he played like a grab ass in real life, you find out, or, you know, in his persona, he was a grab ass. Then you find out in real life behind the scenes that the guy was very dedicated to his religion, a family man and everything else. Yeah, you can't help but admire guys like that. And
I'll throw a comedian out there. I guess I think that's the way they used to say it. Was Phyllis Diller had her own frickin' Dewey Decimal type system thing going on for her frickin' jokes.
Really?
Talk about somebody that had the material, another one, a ton of the self-effacing work. She used to scare the shit out of me as a kid when I'd see her on stuff. But my God, that woman was funny.
Yeah, she was a little tough on the eyes, wasn't she?
I had the wigs or do the hair, whatever the hell it was, just to make it more outlandish.
Just make it worse.
But, yeah, I mean, there were so many of those people at their craft. They were, I mean, behind the business.
Yeah, one of my favorite lines from Smokey and the Bandit was when he was talking to that sheriff, and the sheriff tells him, well, Deputy Justice, that's not germane to the conversation. Jackie Gleason puts the CB radio down in his lap, and he goes, what's the goddamn German army got to do with this?
Yep.
I mean, shit. God damn, he was funny. And a lot of stuff that he did was right off the cuff. You know, where they pretty much said, you know, action, and Jackie Gleason just ran with it. Just a genius. Genius shit, man. And all those guys. And a lot of Burt Reynolds, you know, Burt Reynolds put out a lot of kind of hokey flicks there in the 70s and 80s. You watch them now, they still hold up. They're still good flicks. So, yeah. Yeah, that whole group of people, man. Cannonball Run's one of my kind of go-tos from time to time. If I need a good chuckle, I'll throw it in there and watch that. And, of course, Smokey the Bandit, that's damn ageless. That movie's funnier than shit regardless. So, Tim, I'm going to swat it back in your direction, young man. Hit me.
You know, I had one on deck, and then as you were talking, it kind of all of a sudden swigged my path. And I'm thinking of a really good one now. I'm going to throw out Jim Nabors.
Oh, yeah.
And
go
if you are an Indianapolis native, you would not only remember him for his fine work on film, but you would know he also would, it was tradition, he would sing Back Home Again in Indiana at the Indianapolis 500 every year. That was a big tradition.
And that was his shit. He was a singer before he was an actor.
Oh, yeah. He could belt it out.
Yeah.
Good.
And just so happened, you know, got into the crowd and started doing the Gomer Pyle thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, ba-bang. Yeah, Jim Nabors, he's been gone for a little bit too, man. But he's another one that, you know, around the Midwest, Southeast, part of the Andy Griffith crowd, all those guys, Don Knotts and all them.
Well, I think it would be fair to tie that whole deal in there right now. You realize Gomer, Andy, and Barney are all gone.
Yeah. I thought about the group first.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think the only one left out of there is Ron Howard. And, of course, he played the kid. He played Opie. So, I mean, because the rest of them are gone, to the best of my knowledge. That was always a good show, too. I'll never forget damn Don Knotts looking through that cutout newspaper on that bench. Shit's funny. God, that's funny.
I always wanted to live in Mayberry. I thought, man, I wish I lived in Mayberry. Every time we went through a small town in Indiana, like we would go through, I'm trying to think if it's Kirkland or what, up on 421, I don't know, whatever, on the way to Michigan town. We always passed a small town, and when I was a little bit younger, and I always swore it just kind of reminded me of Mayberry. And I was like, man, I'd like to live here. And now I'm thinking back, God dang, that would have been so boring. But, yeah, Mayberry,
yeah.
Man, that was – I always wanted to live there.
Well, swoop on down here in North Carolina, and Todd will tell you, we can show you a bunch of them that are stuck. As a matter of fact, I call them Mayberries. Whenever I'm talking about some of the towns here in Jacksonville, I said, another goddamn Mayberry.
Yeah.
Because they're just stuck in the
yeah,
time. Good call, man. Good neighbor.
And I think, you know, while Maysville grew a little bit, now that that bypass is filled in, I think it's going to regress.
Same way with Pollocksville. Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
For sure,
Pollocksville. Yeah, but, yeah, well, you know, it is. I do that drive between here in the Carolinas, Carolinas and here. Always go past that area over there by, not Mount Pilot, but Pilot Mount.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's still stuck in the 50s. Easy. I mean, they might have a remote Walmart sitting somewhere now, but outside of that, if you go up 17, up through Washington and all that stuff, Elizabeth City and all, it's same thing, man. I mean, it's like falling back in time when you drive there, and then you hit the Virginia line, and then everything goes batshit. But yeah. A lot of places that are kind of stuck in time, so to speak, here in North Carolina. Easy. Jacksonville ain't one of them. We've turned into Little Durham, but that's another conversation. Todd, you're up, Daddy-O. If you could bang on those, if you could bang on the Golden Gates and bring somebody back, brother, who would it be?
You know, had a name bouncing around for a while now in the back of my head just because I don't know enough about him as a person. I think I've heard some horror stories. But reading his books, and while all the movie versions have been very, there's been individual stories under the correct names, like animated and stuff. But the whole The Jungle Book is actually The Jungle Books.
Yeah.
Gunga Din, stuff like that. Rudyard Kipling. Somebody
yeah.
that could write like that, such a different, you know, I mean, you stop and think, Gunga Din was not... It was a fairly sympathetic perspective for the time of the British Empire.
Yeah, and his writing was in a different league, too. It was kind of almost like H.G. Wells to a certain extent. It had a different level to the classic way of writing.
I didn't tell you, over the various decades, I've probably read the Jungle Books three different times anyways, and gets far more emotional in the spring runnings and stuff like that. You read that, and it's just Mowgli gets kicked out of the pack, all the stuff. It's just, man, he could write.
And it has nothing to do with the Disney movie that you've seen with I Want to Be Like You, which there's another good guy. Mel Torme. God damn it, I just went the wrong direction. The guy who played King Louie on...
King Louie, yeah.
The
voice of Lou. I actually saw him in the thing. But, yeah, there was... boy, they had some voices in that flick.
Oh, Christ, man, it hurts me, and I can't remember. He sang all the, if you watch a mob flick, he's on there. Louis Prima.
Well,
Louis
old boy Prima. that played Shere Khan in that also was one of the ones that played Mr. Freeze in the 60s Batman series.
Yep,
The Mr. Freeze characters. The
Yeah, if you want some good mob music, go listen to some Louis Prima. Him, Dean Martin, Louis Prima shit was just off the charts. Good shit. Yeah, good call on that one, dude. If you want some, of course, ask me how I know. Nobody reads these days, and it's a shame because guys like Rudyard Kipling and all them, they were ahead of their time when they were writing, and their stuff is deep, man, really deep. And like you said, when you read it, man, you put the book down and you're kind of like, you know, it rarely do you read books and take something away from it where you actually try to find a way to maybe perhaps improve yourself. Read some of those old writers like that, and you can apply some of it to what you do every day. And he was one of them. Yeah, damn good call on that one, dude. Now me, as I drag my cigar, and I'm not sipping whiskey tonight. Hey, by the way, did you guys see the Stormtrooper whiskey glass that Dale got me for my birthday?
No.
Ah, dude, I sent a picture of it. Cool as shit. It's a damn whiskey glass with a damn Stormtrooper inside of it. So you're actually drinking out of the Stormtrooper helmet, but it's just like a glass.
Nice.
Cool shit, man. I got to be up early in the morning, so I didn't bother with whiskey tonight. I'm sticking with the Pabst. But normally when I'm out here burning my cigars and sipping my whiskey and watching the deer come out of the woods and shit, two singers that I listen to quite regularly, actually there's three that I listen to regularly, one of which is still alive. I don't think he'll ever die, and that's Willie Nelson. But two, and one in particular that really gets me in the gut.
I've never
loved
the voice. Again.
Do what now?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. There's a song, something about. I think it's a country. It's because the guy's name escapes me. There was a country artist who sang a song, "I'll Never Smoke Weed with Willie Again." You know, basically something about how he got because of Willie, the stuff Willie had. It is all, I just remember that one line of it is, "I'll never smoke weed with Willie again."
Yeah, Willie feels no pain. That's why he's ageless. Stress will never kill that man like it does us normal human beings. He has found a way to circumnavigate stress the way the rest of us do. But Willie's great. But the other two artists, and like I said, one of which, her voice and her music just melts my ass every time I listen to it. So one, of course, is Ray Charles. If I could bring Ray back, God damn it, I would. His music was incredible. His talent was incredible. Sure, he has some shortcomings as a human being along the way, but just for his music alone, dude, bring that son, bring him back. God damn it, bring him back. But the other one is Patsy Cline. God damn, dude.
There you go.
What a freaking voice, man.
I like it.
And her music, damn. And it's funny, every now and then, and guys, I know you've been in it where your wife's wanted you to watch some chick flick, and you don't want to watch it, but you're sitting there trying to be cool about the shit, and you watch it anyway, and then you end up getting screwed up watching it. It's always that Patsy Cline flick with Ed Harris and Jessica Lange. Sweet Dreams. Oh, Christ, dude. Can't watch the flick. Or at least he's like, I watch it until the last 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And, you know, because at the end when Ed Harris finds out that, you know, Patsy died in the airplane crash, and they show him in the parking lot dancing alone. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. I got to turn this, dude. I can't take it no more. But, yeah, dude, it's some heavy shit, man. Yeah, that's the chick flick that just puts me on my back every freaking time, dude. So there's a confessional for you. But, yeah, Patsy Cline, my God. Her voice, all night long, baby. I'd take it. Tim, back around to you, brother. You got it.
All right. I'm going to move back over to comedians. And there was one soul that left us way too early, and it was extremely tragic because it was self-inflicted. Robin Williams, very talented. And the
how
poor
in the hell
guy,
did I forget him?
Suffered some mental health issues and took his own life. Boy, was he, man, he was a star, all right. Back from his days, Mork and Mindy. I remember a Mork and Mindy clip where he answers the door. Again, I'll probably butcher it, but the guy knocks on the door, or somebody knocks on the door and says, can I come in? And he goes, I know you can do it. Just put one foot in front of the other. he was, and you know, again, we pointed out in one of the other ones that was mentioned, it's quite possible that a lot of his energy was, you know, induced by drugs or whatever. But nonetheless, you can't take anything away from the talent that that man had. He put a different spin on comedy. He was a great actor. He probably won some Oscars for all I know. He did, what was it, Dead Poets Society, and, you know, just an amazing guy that was taking away.
Was it Bicentennial Man or something like that?
Sounds
he did
right.
The robot thing?
Oh, yeah.
That was a solid flick. And was it him and, boy, what was so one trying to get to the wife and all that? Had Cuba Gooding Jr. and...
Oh, Awakenings. Or no, that wasn't it. No. That was the one we were telling Rob about last night, What Dreams May Come, where his whole family had died and he was going back through the afterlife trying to find his family.
Yes. It was,
that
well,
movie.
His, they had, Woo. Okay, so it, a child of theirs was killed in a car accident.
Yeah.
And it might have been, I can't remember if it was one or two. They had two children. At least one was killed in a car accident, and then his wife took her own life because she couldn't take it.
And she had to
kill
the finder.
Because she took her own life.
Yeah.
When they, Evan, he, you know, they were trying to piece it together, and he was like, I'm going to go get her. And so the whole movie is him going down to get her and then brings her back, and then kind of the twist, I could have done without it is, you know, he's like, well, let's do it all over again, you know, and basically him and his wife, they go back to be reborn.
At the end?
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and somehow magically find each other as children and, you know, supposedly start all over. I was like, I think you're pushing it there. But, yeah, I remember the flick.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of those guys, and rarely do I get shook up when celebrities pass because, I mean, hey, they don't know who the hell I am, you know, but I know when Rodney passed, you kind of was a little pooped out that day. Sinatra, you know, who we haven't mentioned yet. Sinatra's another one who I was a little pooped out that day when I found out he passed. But Robin Williams, I can remember just being a funk for a couple of days after that because and you know what was cool about his flick is that after you watched him, you kind of felt better. It's hard to describe. You know, like Miss Doubtfire. If you really break down Miss Doubtfire, it's a funny-ass movie. But if you break down the premise of it, here's a guy who dressed up like an old woman to just be with his kids. I mean, how screwed up is that?
You know
what I mean?
Chris Collins. You just literally did a Chris Collinsworth. You went, now, here's a guy.
this guy. Yeah, I did. That was a little Collins. And the bad thing about Collinsworth, not to be a meanie, but he'll live to be like 127 years old. And here we're talking about guys like, damn, Robin Williams
and you know what?
Chris Farley left
the
world.
Worst
is even if he does go, we still have to deal with his damn son on Sunday Night Football now. He's even worse.
Christ almighty. I know it. There's no justice. Yeah, him and Joe Buck. God damn it. Both of them are angels.
Oh,
they'll never die. Just because they're assholes, they'll never die. Just like Joe Biden. Never die. Yeah, that's but, you know, Robin Williams throughout his now, I'll tell you, and I was telling Rob about what dreams may come yesterday, and I told him, I says, you need to watch this movie alone because it's a screwed-up flick. And I said, what makes it messed up is had anybody else starred in that movie, it wouldn't have worked. It's kind of like Phil Collins singing Take a Look at Me Now. When you watch the video and it's Phil Collins standing in the rain singing that song, it gets you right in the gut because Phil's 5'6", bald, goofy-looking bastard, though his kids are gorgeous. You know, so if it was John Bon Jovi singing that song, it wouldn't work because nobody's leaving John Bon Jovi. But you can look at Phil and picture some chick leaving him and breaking his heart. And he's out in the rain singing about it. You know what I mean? So
actually, I would almost say if it was more established mainstream serious actor, I dare say that would have been getting awards.
Easy. And, yeah, you just, you had such a sympathetic attachment to Robin Williams. And when you watch that movie, oh, God, it's just a gut punch from start to finish, dude. And what was the one that about the doctor?
Awakenings.
That was good. Patch Adams, there you go. And, of course, the actual doctor behind that hated the movie. But when you watch that one, that's another one. Total gut punch of a movie, dude. Total gut punch. You know, it's funny you mentioned Mork and Mindy earlier, though, Tim. I often compare Dr. John to Exidor on there. The guy who comes to your apartment and goes, the end is near. I just saw Bigfoot. Oh, shit. Good call, though, man. Yeah, that was huge.
Well, that movie gives us another name of a guy that had mad talent, or the Robin Williams reference going back to Mork and Mindy. How about old Johnny Winters?
You know,
Jonathan,
he was another
Winters.
One. But he dressed up like a woman, but didn't push an agenda with it. You know,
nope.
What I mean?
he got paid well to do those commercials.
Oh, easy. You put the two of them together at one time, it was over with, dude. So, Todd, one more, Daddy, and then we got to do our parting shot. So, go ahead and hit me.
Any. The complete first two Stooges lineups.
Oh, God damn, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Because you got to remember, Shemp was actually the first Stooge. Didn't like that stuff. So Curly took it and stepped in. Then, of course, Shemp came in afterwards. The Stooges, man. Stooges.
And if you read up on their post-fame, it's heartbreaking, dude. Reading on how the rest of Curly's
how they weren't getting shit and residuals and all that stuff.
I mean, Hollywood just bent those guys over. And for what they've brought, for the laughs they brought, for the money they brought those executives and shit, I would kind of like to think those guys have a special place in heaven for the suffering they went through, but for the joy they brought. Yeah, good, good. Damn, guys. Y'all knocking the balls out of the park here the last damn round. Well done. For me, I'll do one last group pass, and then we'll do the parting shots here. For me, in the 90s, a lot of good music. Big 80s music guy, big 70s music guy. The beginning of the 90s was good, a lot of good stuff. But I'm going to group together a couple of vocalists. Layne Staley from Alice in Chains, who I consider one of the greatest groups. Scott Whelan from Stone Temple Pilots. Chris Cornell from Soundgarden. And, God, Jesus, what's her name? Paul Reardon from the Cranberries.
Any love for Kurt Cobain?
Shucks.
It's, I'm just
that, that general group overall, I'm like, man,
just me. Not a suggestion, just a question. So,
yeah. What makes it tough about that whole group is that it was all self-inflicted. And the young lady from Roxette, I don't know if you guys remember Roxette or not.
Oh, man, yeah.
Now, she passed that, cancer just a couple years ago.
What is it? Were they the ones, you got the look?
Yes. And then they had a song.
That
tune
actually had some chops, and it was more popish. It had, had its own level of crunch and consistency. Yeah.
And then they had that Must Have Been Love song from the Pretty Woman soundtrack. Oh, Christ. That song will eat you alive if you've ever broke up with somebody. Oh, shit. But the vocals
so
they have.
We're nearing towards the end, so I can't do the. But I would almost say that there's people out there that would argue about Kurt Cobain being self-inflicted. It was an awfully fishy story, and there's a lot of fingers that would be pointed over at Courtney, wasn't it? Wasn't that Courtney Love?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I put the asterisk on him, because it's I still think there was some coercion there of some type or another. And I could tell you something. When you see somebody that's down and you go out of your way to put your foot in their ribs, I can't help but think you'll pay for that someday.
Right.
Might not be here on this planet, but you'll pay. And when guys are in trouble and you go out of your way to make it worse, and I've never had any use for her, even when he was alive. And, I think that she was instrumental. No proof, like you said. You just don't know. And being a guy who's experienced the lows like that, sometimes all it takes is for somebody not to hold the door open for you, and your mind goes to a different place, dude. And the hell with her, dude. I think she's going to pay in her afterlife. Just a hunch. But yeah, those vocalists right there, dude. Alice in Chains, for Christ's sake, dude. I mean, if you had to ask me the four greatest groups musical history, I would, and I know I'm leaving Jimi Hendrix out of this because I always picture Jimi Hendrix as a solo artist, though he had the experience. I'd go to the Eagles, Van Halen, Alice in Chains, Motley Crue, in that order. And, when Layne died, that sucked. And what sucked is I had tickets to go see them when he died, and never get another shot at it, man. Alice in Chains freaking rocks. Give a shit what nobody says. But yeah, and the talent those guys have. And I'll even throw in, even though this was before that, Michael Hutchinson for NXS. That was another guy that could sing his ass off, man. And they found him in the closet. And it's like, shucks, dude. you know, in a way, you almost want to go up there and get them back just for no other reason, just to get them back and say, dude, do you know how much joy and how much you brought to other people? You know what I mean? And then to end it the way you did, do you know how many people you robbed of your talent? I know that's pretty deep, but you almost want to, you know, just get him back just long enough to tell him to straighten his ass out, because he brought a lot of people joy, and he brought a lot of people peace, and he brought a lot of people some solace when they needed it. And, yeah, all those guys. Sucks. Lost a lot. So, with all that, we got about 5 or 6 minutes to kick it around the room here. So
3 and change.
Yeah, we can make it. Tim, start us off. Give me some parting shots, young man.
All right. So my parting shot is I'm going to leave you with I'm going to finish it up. I'm going to say real short, John Belushi. It could be tied, you know, same kind of lifestyle as Chris Farley. And then I'm going to give it quick. So, again, this is my wrap-up, you know, but I'm going to throw this one out there. It's definitely a different category. They weren't famous for nearly long enough. And, yes, it's kind of a – I don't mean to end the show on a downer, but just kind of a going back in history in the 80s. I want to say 80 – never mind, not important. I think it was 85, the Challenger astronauts. They blew up in space.
Yeah,
and just about everybody I know watched it happen right there on television. And that was tough.
Yeah.
I was in the second grade classroom watching it, and that was tough. And there was a school teacher on board, too. And I remember it was a big deal. It was hyped up. Everybody was excited, and it just really sucked. It would have been pretty cool if they could have pulled off what they were setting to do. So,
yeah,
anyway,
yeah, 29 pulse.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I skipped school that day, feigned a damn stomach ache so I could watch the damn shuttle launch. And, of course, I ended up with a stomach ache after watching it. So, I mean, you know, we need to do a show. Next week we'll do Mom's Day show. We'll do the Mother's Day thing next week. But maybe the week after we'll do stuff, do a show about that. We were sitting in front of the TV and something like that happened. That'd be a decent show to do. It's a good call. Well done, Tim. Well done. And that's how we operate here at Pop Culture Stars. We just damn right off the goddamn cuff like that. So appreciate you joining us tonight. Great show, dude.
Yep.
Todd, hit me up.
Big love to Dave Macias. Continue to just deal with how the cluster it is going through the provider for the home loan. It's a cluster, they're piecemeal and stuff. Important to him, the family. Yuki sent me text well after she knows I'm in bed, and it's amazing. She just sent me a text just to confirm a recipe from one of the ultimate country seasoning from one of the ultimate comfort foods. As always, take care of yourself, take care of your family, take care of one another. Big hugs.
Excellent, dude. Well done. It's been great to have you back, man. I know you. Busier than hell. You got your hands full, man, but having you back has been better than excellent. Appreciate you joining us tonight. It's been a great show, man. We really kicked some ass tonight. And, I mean, despite the fact it was kind of a tough episode to get through, I think we're all going to have a collective laugh, or perhaps like me, I'll be listening to a few tunes before I crash tonight, just by stirring all this stuff up in my mind. So, great job tonight. Appreciate you joining us, as always. For me, real quick, as always, without going into the gory details, I figured I'd be dead at 33. That was always my number. I figured that the good Lord would sooner or later wash the panties of this planet, and I'd be a shit stain that would be gone, justly so. And I had some things happen, and I genuinely tried to turn my life around and try to be a better man, which I wasn't trying too hard to be back in those days. And so here I am every birthday. The people who take a second out of their day and just get on there and say, happy birthday. Nothing big. Just take that second to type happy birthday to me. And when I look at them, I look at the quantity, because God knows it ties me up for 2 days to say thanks to everybody. But the quality of people, man, it is humbling as shit. Enough said. So, thanks to everybody. We took a second and just said hi. And with 23 being as vicious as it has been to me this year, gotten monumentally better lately. Whole different conversation. But I'm telling you, it means the world. It means everything. And for all those people who say, hey, man, it's just another day. Birthdays don't mean shit. Step back and take a look. And look at the people who are taking the time. The quality of people, not quantity. Look at the quality first. And then look at the quantity. And it'll really blow your damn doors off, dude. So big thanks to everybody who just simply said, happy birthday, man. Means the world. So, with all that, next week, yeah, I better hurry up. Next week, Mom's Day episode. Mom's Day coming up. We're going to talk about mothers, and not the mothers that Todd and Tim and myself are used to being called. We're talking like the moms, the birthing parents, if you will, nowadays is what they're called. We won't even get on that. They're mom, damn it. Uh-oh. We're getting some music. We're getting some tunes. All right. Okay, I hear you, British lady. Well, with 90 seconds left to go, I better get off this broadcast before we bleed into the other one. Tim, Todd, much love. You guys are fantastic. You guys did a wonderful job tonight, as always. Appreciate your kinship, brothership, and your assistance tonight. And we will talk to you all, and y'all, for that matter, next week. Pop Culture Starts. Mom's Day episode.
Happy birthday,
Dave. Thanks, dude.
It's background even style Jimmy Hendrix along the Watchtower.
Yes. Good tunes.
I'm trying to talk.
All right, British lady, we got to get on it. You guys have a good night. Thank
you. I'm supposed to hear those fret lines.
Got to go.